Welcome to the Teaching Self-Government Podcast with Nicolene Peck. Improving your life, uniting your family, changing the world.
Welcome to the Teaching Self-Government Podcast. I'm Nicolene Peck, and I'm joined here with my daughter, Paige Baumert. Hi, Paige.
Hello.
Oh, Paige, I am so excited to be having this conversation with you on this podcast today. So today we're going to be talking about, I forgive you, those powerful, powerful words that people just heard across the world because of a tragic scene that we've just experienced. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about how those words can be so healing in all of our relationships. And I think if there's one thing that people really are focusing on right now, it is healing. It's truth and healing. And I forgive you is centered upon a really powerful truth. We're going to talk about that. But before we do, Paige, we got to know something fun to do. You know, here on the Teaching Self-Government Podcast, we talk about fun family activities every single time. So what type of a fun family activity do you have for us today?
So this one is centered around books, and I call it blind date with a book. So this actually came from an idea that I saw in my library, and that I recently saw for a bridal shower as well, which is kind of fun. But it's where initially people will, at least the library, we'll say the library's example. They took some books, they wrapped them up in brown paper, and they said, okay, you know, you don't know what book this is. It's from this section. You know, maybe it's like young adult or historical fiction or whatever it is. Like, it's from this section, but you don't really know what it is. So go check it out, take it home, unwrap it, and go for it. Right? And so it's blind date with a book. You're literally getting set up with a book, right? And you don't know what's in it. You don't know the title, nothing. But then you say, okay, well, let's see what it is. Let's see what it's about. Let's see what it says. You know, and hopefully you picked a decent one that's with your values and stuff. But you can take this into the family setting as well. And, you know, I would say a fair amount of families have, you know, a number of books in their house, whether they're kids' books or young adult books, you know, stuff like that. I know we grew up with many books scattered all over the house.
Just say
all
loads.
The bookshelves.
Loads of books.
Loads. Well, technically, you qualify as a library if you have 1,000 books. So we might qualify.
Oh, anyway. For sure qualify as a library.
Anyway, so we had our own certified library with the amount of books we had. Anyway, but date night with, or blind date with a book in a family setting, especially if it's, you know, a parent going to do it with all their children. Or, you know, it could be a fun date night too between spouses. That could be nice. But you pick a book for each other. You say, okay, you got 20 minutes. Here's a book that I've picked for you. You don't know what it is, but I'm setting you up with it. I think it'll be a great choice. And then we're all going to divide and conquer. So we all go and we, you know, find a cozy spot to sit and read, whether in our room or, you know, on the beanbag or, you know, whatever you have. And we're going to read the book that we were given for 20 minutes and see what it's about and see if we liked it. And then we're going to come back and have a book discussion. You know, say, well, my book talked about this. And I was really surprised because, you know, the last few days I've been feeling these emotions. And, you know, surprisingly, this book talked about it and how other people were going through it. Or, you know, I read Dr. Seuss and they talked about these different situations. And I realized that I was acting that way with my siblings and I probably should have changed it. You know, so you can have a discussion about books no matter what level they're at or who the author is. You can even give a board book to your, you know, 3 and 4 year olds and be like, okay, look at the pictures, see what they're saying through the pictures. You know, and so everyone can be involved in the book discussion. And you might be surprised where you have completely different books from completely different genres. You know, different stories, different things, but because you have all the people who are related together, it could bring out different things from things that you all have experienced as a family. And so, you know, one person could have read The Cat in the Hat, and another person could have read, you know, a short story or something from a shelf, like maybe it was a Christmas story. And you come together and you go, wow, I was reading this book about this girl named Ellen and how she was so pessimistic. And, she didn't want her parents to get her hopes up about Christmas or whatever it is. And, I was really considering that and how I have realized that my mentality has not been so good lately, And, the person who could say, well, yeah, I was reading Cat in the Hat and he came in and he thought he was just in charge of everything. And, the fish, he was pessimistic too, and so all these different things
It
can
could
all
come
come
together,
together.
right? Yeah, they could come
Exactly.
together. So I
Yeah.
like this because what I'm hearing is we've got to have a time limit on this because some
Well,
books are,
yeah.
and so we're probably going to be picking books that are a little bit shorter by nature. But I'm hearing each family member picks another family member's name out of a hat or something, and then they go and pick a book, and then it's time for your blind date, and they're like, okay, well, here's your date, and everybody gets their date, and if someone else picks it for
And
it.
maybe they get a
It
little
has to
snack
be,
to go with
there you go, because it's like a little mini readathon. And then,
it.
and then, and of course, you can trust the books. I actually wouldn't trust the library to do this for me. If the library picked me a book,
No,
I'd be
and
like, not in
yeah,
a
but
million
that's
years.
where I got the idea from.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't do it at the public library's recommendation, but in your
Well, you just have
home,
very high standards when it comes to books, so.
I do. I just am not going to fill my brain with just everything under the sun. And so then we get together and we discuss, which is super exciting because actually discussion is the most robust, the most personal, transformational learning environment that there is having a discussion. And so this teaches your children how to engage in the learning process more and how to internalize things, how to extract stuff from books. I think it's a great idea. I think it's something you could even do periodically, not just once, but it could be something
You
that
could
you
have your
occasionally
own
do.
monthly family book discussion with your blind dates.
Yeah, you could. And hopefully you're reading together as a family too, doing some family read alouds. All right, so Paige, we've got to talk about forgiveness. We've got so far to go with this conversation about forgiveness and healing our relationships. But first, let's talk about self-government. So what is the definition of self-government? We're going to be looking through that lens today.
Yes, so the definition of self-government is it's twofold. It's got two parts. Being able to determine the cause and effect of any given situation, and number two, possessing a knowledge of your own behaviors so that you can control them.
True, true. So that means that as we're looking through this topic of forgiveness and healing our relationships today, we're looking through what is our responsibility in our relationships? What is our responsibility when it comes to forgiveness? And I think we've all been there. I think we've all been wronged by somebody before. I mean, maybe it was a big wrong, maybe it was a little wrong, but I think every person has had the opportunity to feel like someone mistreated them in some way, didn't care about them, disregarded them, something that they feel like wasn't actually their fault, maybe even hurt them. Maybe there's even an extreme example of someone that was abused or something like that. And you feel like that pain is acute. It's difficult. You can't shake it. It follows you around everywhere. It might even be horrific. But there's one thing about that type of pain. The longer you carry it, the more it hurts you. And so there is a liberation that comes from forgiveness. And we recently had an experience in this nation. And it was basically like the shot heard around the world.
Quite literally, almost.
I find it very interesting because the shot heard around the world, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, does refer to the Revolutionary War, right? The beginning of the Revolutionary War, that first shot fired in Boston Commons, at the
Beginning of
Boston.
a revolution of that era.
Right. But that shot changed everything in the world. It changed everything because the United States ended up engaging in Revolutionary War, ended up creating a constitution, which then created other constitutions in other countries, and freedom and what the United States stood for spread around the entire world. And, now we have had another shot Another
Another
shooting,
revolution.
a tragic shooting, but it is a revolution that is coming with it. Hearts are being changed, actions are being taken. People can never see the world the same again. It is absolutely transformational what is going on. So, Paige, we're talking about Charlie Kirk.
In case that wasn't apparent.
Yes, we're
Yeah.
talking about Charlie Kirk, and I know that you've been following the news on that. I was there that day that Charlie Kirk was shot, and it was a surreal experience, something I will never forget to have been there and to see the horror on the faces and the panic, the worry, and then the people turning to prayer. I'll never forget that. I gathered up over 100 people and we all held each other and prayed and cried and relied on each other's faith. And in the moment of tragedy, there was this hope. And I remember when I was praying for this big group to feel okay, because I was the one who was saying the prayer. I remember feeling very impressed that I needed to pray for the assassin, for the killer who had done this heinous act, I remember saying in the prayer. And that I needed to pray for his family. Of course, I prayed for the police and everyone to find him. But I felt I needed to pray for him. And you know, what I prayed for him was that he would feel inclined to repent. That even though I knew that even if he repents, justice has to be served,
Course.
that at least that he would repent. And these students, these young people who were all around me, some of them reached out to me and said, "Thank you for that prayer, and thank you for praying for him." And they were so touched, I think, by the fact that I had prayed for him too, right in that moment of horror, that I had felt impressed to pray for him too, because I think that gave everybody the, instead of being angry, instead of being
Well,
scared,
it shifted the perspective.
to wait a minute, this whole life is about repentance and then
Well, and understanding that
forgiveness.
even if someone does something so horrible, an action like that, like taking the life of another person, especially in that gruesome way, that person is still a child of God.
Clara, do not come down the basement.
Yeah. And really, Paige, I mean, your generation, and maybe even those slightly younger than you, but right around your generation, I mean, Charlie Kirk was just a couple of years older than you, not much. And he's a young father, just like you're a young mother. I mean, here he is. But he really was able to reach the young generation. And I think we're seeing people in the younger generation just having this huge heart moment, this huge shift because of what happened. And we heard some incredible words just yesterday from Charlie's wife, Erica, at the big event that celebrated his
The
life.
memorial.
Yeah, the memorial service. She said, I mean, it was hard for her to get it out, and you could see that. But she said to the assassin, she called him that young man, she said, "I forgive you."
When you could tell, like, her heart was just ripping. Because
Yeah.
it's hard. Like, I mean, I can't say that I have experienced anything close to what she's going through. But for
Right.
her to have the strength to say, you know what? I really hate that this is my situation right now. And I wouldn't, I had no plans for it to be this way. But I don't want to, it's not going to serve me well or serve you well for me to hold a grudge and to hold hate in my heart for you.
Well, I mean, let's think about it. It really helps her more than it helps him, actually.
It's true.
When you can forgive, it sets you free so that you do not have to be in bondage to an evil, dark power, because hate and offense and those types of personal feelings that we take on that are very emotional, they're very deep, they may be justified. I mean, she is absolutely justified in feeling all the things,
Oh,
like
100%.
everything. But she chose to forgive. She chose to let all of that other stuff, all of the feelings of pain go, and to not hold on to any of those deep, dark things, because she's got a purpose. She's got children. She's got things that she's got to do. She is a mother on a mission.
Yeah,
And
a very big mission.
she was married to a man on a mission, and she knows what she has to do, and she's committed to it, and she wants to do it. It's probably so overwhelming. I can't even imagine what she's going through as far as the overwhelm and everything else. But she knew, I'm sure, that her only choice for real freedom from in the trial that's to come and everything else is for her to be able to say, but I forgive you because I'm not carrying this. I've got things to do.
That can't take up place in her heart.
No, that's huge. Now, this reminds me of a self-government concept, Paige. Talk to us about what is self-governing here that we're even talking about.
Well, here it's, I mean, one of the four basic skills that we teach everybody, right? It's no answers. How to accept no for an answer. And for her, it is a big no answer. It is, hey, no, you don't get to have your husband here anymore. No, you don't get to rely on him and, anything like that. No, he doesn't get to be a physically present father anymore. No.
And
He's gone.
no, you don't get to stay home while he goes off and does all the things, because now she's going to take it over, right? And you don't get to have the children or the daddy there for him. You don't get to dance with him at your daughter's wedding. You don't get to, sorry, I'm gonna cry, but
No, he doesn't get to walk her down the aisle.
yeah, and no, you don't get to give him a final kiss and tell him how much you love him before that happened. Or before he was just to die of old age. You don't get to have the old years together. You don't get to have all of those precious moments and years of your life. I mean, that's huge.
And also, no, your kids aren't going to know their father in person from personal experience. It's
That
hard.
is really hard. Yeah, they're going to be watching videos of their daddy.
Yeah.
Luckily,
Along with
there's a
the
plethora
rest
of
of the
those.
world. Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh,
luckily,
trust
there's a
me, I've been
plethora.
making a whole Facebook saved list of all the Charlie Kirk stuff.
There you go. There you go. So, no answers. This is huge. So, let's re remind everybody the steps to accepting a no answer. So, if you'll remember, there's four basic skills of self-government, and these are just four of the kind of start here skills, okay, for learning self-government. They're basics,
Basic foundation
but we
things.
come back to them all the time because you know what? Even though they're basic, sometimes you get in a moment and you forget what skill to use, And accepting a no answer is a key one. It's the one that you use for when things don't go the way you wish they would have. And it could be big things, it could be small things. It could be my hair didn't work out today. Well, that's a no answer. Move on anyways. I burnt the
Personal
dinner.
experience much?
Yeah, exactly. I burnt the dinner. Oh well, no answer. I have to take some time to do a correction for my child who's still learning. Well, it's just a no answer. These are all small things, right? And then there might be bigger things, like I got in a car accident and now I don't have a car to drive, or maybe even worse, I got injured, in
Yeah.
that car accident or something, or somebody else did that I love, or whatever. And those are big no answers. And Erica Kirk and her family and Charlie's parents, which weren't mentioned that much, but must be absolutely devastated, I'm sure. They and all the people that he's mentored and all the people that have mentored him. I mean, he's just had such an impact. And I love knowing of people like that, because they spread light everywhere they go, and that's what he did. So forgiveness is basically dropping the subject. The steps to accepting a no answer are you look at the person or the situation. In this case, situation. You keep a calm face, voice, and body, which
Sometimes
means
easier said than done.
yes, but you tell yourself, you know what? I
I'm
can
gonna
do
be okay with
this.
this.
I can do this. I can be okay. I mean, a tear may fall out of your eye. Okay, fine. But you're focusing on being calm, being okay, and being loving and accepting what has happened. And then you say, okay. Or you could ask to disagree appropriately. In this case, not going to do you much good. You just say, okay.
Yeah.
And then step number four is you drop the subject.
This is hard.
And it's super hard. Because you can't take it personal and you can't carry it in a backpack full of rocks your whole life. You got to decide to move on with joy and with optimism and with hope. With hope. Okay, so forgiveness is acceptance of your situation that isn't perfect. That's really what forgiveness is. When you're saying to someone or to a situation, when you are accepting a no answer, you are saying, I wish something could have been perfect because we all like it that way. And maybe it was even perfect for a day or two or a few years. But now it's not, and I accept that. I accept that this is my new situation that I have to go through and problem solve through and all those things. So when you drop the subject, what you're really doing in forgiveness is you're dropping that subject about things being perfect. You're saying, they don't have to be perfect. I'm going to drop the subject about that. I can still, however, orient myself toward the good and the ideal. I can point myself in that direction continually, but I don't have to achieve it every day to be okay. It's all right. And Paige, as I
No.
say that, I'm thinking, my goodness, we're talking about Erica Kirk here and a devastating situation, but I mean, how is this going to play out in our lives? Who do we forgive?
I know for me, more often than not, I mean, a lot of times it's I'm forgiving myself because there are times where I allow myself to think ill thoughts of another person, or I do something. Maybe I don't time manage my time as well as I could have, and it negatively impacts other people. And so I just have to tell myself, I did something wrong, and that probably wasn't the best way to do it. That doesn't mean I'm an awful person, but I forgive my mishap, and I'm going to do better now in the future. And so,
This is powerful.
yeah, and it's just something that I've learned to do. And my heart voice and my mind voice, or my body, whatever it is, they all have a relationship with each other, and they all have to be taken into account, and sometimes they speak differently, and we choose to follow one and then we choose to follow the other, and you have to be able to forgive yourself and go, oh, oops, well, I look like a fool, but that is okay. I'm still a child of God. I'm still a mom. I'm still a wife. I'm still a daughter. And so, with that knowledge in mind, I'm going to say, I'm going to apologize to whoever I need to and move on.
Yeah, and forgive yourself. And so and that shows charity to yourself, right? And it also shows that you trust God that he can be in all the details and that he can help you improve and all those kinds of things. If you say, I'm moving on, I'm gonna leave this mistake in the past, I'm gonna get better. That's when we use guilt for our good, right? Like that bit of guilt that moves us forward, in the situations you're talking about, or that little bit of shame where you're like, oh, okay, socially that might not have been the best thing to do, and you feel that. and then you go, okay, lesson learned, right? Now you're moving
Well,
on,
guilt and
becoming a
shame are
better.
different, but yeah.
Well, true, true. There's a type of a, there's a kind of a positive shame, and then we don't need to get into this probably, but just
It's a different podcast episode,
since I breached it, I'll just really
but
fast say,
yeah, sorry.
okay, guilt is, oh, I did the wrong thing and I
Yeah, I feel
feel
bad.
bad about it and I need to fix it. Okay, shame is people were not happy about this, or this hurt people in such a way that it made me look bad, and or I did something that made me look bad to other people, which probably isn't helpful. Some of that can be okay, but then if you get into the part of shame where you're like, I'm just not a good person and that kind of thing, then shame is not okay. But some of us do certain things, like we apologize to other people and say, oh, I'm sorry, that was probably really awkward to do that, because we're thinking in our heads, we're thinking, you know, I didn't factor in what they might be thinking of me doing that or saying that. That wasn't good, right? And we all can mess up from time to time. So we're always learning. And that's what you're talking about, is forgive yourself because you're
Course.
learning. Yeah, we have to forgive other people. We have to forgive our spouses, like all the time, like 2,000 times seven, you know, like all the time. Okay. Not just 20 times seven or 40 times seven or whatever the Bible says, but it's like forever,
Oh, 70
infinite.
times 7.
Yeah, 70. Okay, well, we're going to call it 7,000 times 7 then. Anyway, you just keep going, just keep forgiving all the time. And hopefully they'll forgive you too, right? Because you're not going to be perfect. And you forgive your children and they forgive you. And I mean, I don't know how a parent could teach a child if they couldn't forgive them without just being grumpy
Well,
all the
here's the
time.
deal. Like, if you hang on to things and you choose not to forgive, then it creates grudges and resentment. And so if you hang on to those things, you are just feeling downtrodden and discouraged and depressed all the time because you're focusing on, these things that someone else did to me are the worst and I can't get over it because this is awful. But when you choose to forgive, whether it be yourself or the actions of others that affected you, then you say, you know what? I believe that despite what happened, there are better things for me and that I don't have to stay here, even though, for 10 or 15 minutes, I might feel entitled to this feeling of being betrayed and resentment, right? Because sometimes you do feel entitled to those things. And then later we're like, well, that was stupid. Why did we do that? Anyway, so,
Human,
after
being
that,
human, we have to go, okay, hold on, focus, focus. Yeah.
Anyway, but we have to say no. We're gonna move forward. It's okay. We can let that go. There is wisdom to Elsa's song from Frozen. Let it go. That's not gonna hold me back anymore, right?
Yeah.
Because when you do that, then all the cloudiness and the mugginess that clouds your judgment and your vision, goes away. And
It
then
gives
some of
you
the light can
hope.
come in. It
Yeah,
does.
it
And
gives
you
you
can
hope.
say,
Yeah.
okay, I have hope for I it, once I give this away, I have hope that things are going to get better, or that at least I'm going to be able to make better of my situation.
And I love how you said it lets the light in. That's really important, because that's really what brings us to hope, is light. You have to see the light. You have to see the truth, you know, and that's what gives people hope. And I mean, when you forgive, when you say, I forgive you, I forgive me, now you're back to the truth of we are humans and we are going to make mistakes and we are going to even do some downright evil things sometimes, because some humans do. And
But
but
it's
when you can
powerful to
state
say it.
it, it comes into the light,
And not
right?
just feel it. In fact, I actually have an experience with this that happened not too long ago. But I was having a conversation with Joseph, and things came to light where I was falling short in some of my responsibilities. And I could tell he was visibly upset because he was under the assumption that I was doing everything that I needed to and that things were going swimmingly, which, I guess there needed to be some more communication that I didn't realize needed to be there. But anyway, so he had some heated feelings And I understood that, and I felt some guilt for the things that he was mentioning. I'm like, yeah, that's my fault. And there's no one else to blame. And so he had to get ready to go to work because it was, before he left for work. And so he said, I have to go. And so I stood up and I gave him a hug. And I'm like, I am so sorry that I am causing this because of my actions. And he was quiet. He's a very contemplative
He's
man.
thoughtful, yes.
He is, yes. He was quiet for, 10 to 15 seconds. We were just hugging. And then he whispered in my ear, I forgive you. Sorry if I'm gonna cry. But it was so wonderful to be able to hear that from him when I knew that he was upset, when I knew that he was doubting himself as a provider, because he has a tendency to beat himself up inside. But where he would tr was truly doing his best, and he felt that I had let him down on my end. And for him to be able to verbalize and say, I forgive you, was huge for me. And it showed me that he has hope for me, and he sees potential in me, even though I've fallen short. And that whole, just those three words told me that he loved me, that he wants the best for me, that he's there to support me, but that I need to do better. But he's going to be right there, right alongside me to help me in that. And so it gave me the motivation I needed to light a fire under my pants and bust my butt and get back to doing the things that I knew I needed to do. So, I mean, those words are powerful, especially when spoken earnestly and meaning it from the heart. Just like we felt with Erica Kirk's expression of forgiveness. She meant it. She meant every word, and you could tell. I wasn't obviously there in person for the memorial, but I was watching it via Facebook Live, and even from there, I could feel it.
Yeah, I think we all could. And it really was. I mean, there have been other stories that I've heard of. I know a person who everyone in his family except for one person was killed, and he had five children and a wife, and they were all killed because of some acts that some just mischievous teenagers did, and other people because of drunk drivers and stuff. And they said, I forgive you. And I just remember, in the news reading that or hearing that and just going, oh my goodness, that is mind blowing that a person could just say that, and also feeling like, I hope I could, if I were in that circumstance, I hope I could be like that. But sometimes these little hard moments where we let each other down and we disappoint each other, it's so tempting to just make an excuse for ourselves, to blame something else, to blame somebody else. But you said you were sorry, so you brought things into the light, and then he was able to give you that hope that comes for him and for you with forgiveness. And so
One
that's a
just
unifying moment.
it is because we were struggling. We were coming upon a hard situation together, and even though initially there were some heated things that maybe were said or felt, after we had gotten it all out and discussed it for a time, it brought us closer together instead of further apart. And we said, this sucks, but we're in this together. And so I'm going to do what I can to support you, but that means I need you to do what you can to support me.
I love it. And that's the beauty of forgiveness right there. I mean, I don't think anything could be said even better than really what you said. I mean, hope that you gained from that forgiveness, it gives you purpose, it gives you productivity, it strengthens your relationships, it improves your mental health and your physical health and your spiritual health. It just People that actually have a sense of hope, they live longer. People that are hopeless die. People will say, could you die of a broken heart? The answer is yes. You
Yeah.
can if you don't have any hope. And
Well, didn't that happen to your grandparents? They died within like what, 6 months of each other?
they did. They still had hope. I think my grandpa just, he never watched out for his own health. He didn't know he had cancer. So he was watching over hers, That happens
Yeah.
sometimes, but no, I mean, did
Well,
he
I
miss
think
her and
forgiveness.
grieve? Yes, that type of a
Yeah.
broken heart, but not,
Yeah.
he didn't not have hope. Like he was a joyful, purposeful person living with purpose and optimism, even though, she was gone. I think he probably was a little lonely, but he wasn't hopeless. And I
Yeah.
think there's many things that lead to hope. Forgiveness is one of them. Faith is another. Charity and understanding and service, and there's all kinds of things that lead to hope. Today we focused on forgiveness.
Yeah, well, and there's, I feel like, at least for me, forgiveness is a lot of things. And like we were saying, forgiveness and hope, they're symbiotic, they go together, but I feel like they also feed into each other. So, at least for me, when I choose to forgive, I have a hope that, especially if my situation is kind of nasty, I'm like, okay, Heavenly Father, I am hoping that if I choose to let go of these negative thoughts and feelings, that you're going to take them and you're going to make them, make them go away, at least all the negative things. I'm going to remember them, of course, to help me make better decisions, but I'm hoping that you will step in and give me some of your grace, right? But then
Amen.
also, when you have hope, when you're like, okay, I'm really hoping, then you're able to forgive, right? So they all go together. One thing that I've been doing ever since Charlie Kirk passed, was I'm like, you know what? I might not be the most eloquent person, but I know certain things to be true, and truth has to be shared now more than ever. Eternal truths that are not going to change no matter what.
Well, that's the definition of a truth.
What? No.
It's not going to change no matter what.
Right. Anyway, and so I've been doing something on my personal social media page that I've been titling Tidbits of Truth, where I make a video or a short post each day of something that I know to be true. And yesterday's actually was about forgiveness. And so I just kind of want to share what I wrote because it makes so much sense. But so my tidbit of truth for September 21st of 2025 was forgiveness is power. Forgiveness is wisdom. Forgiveness is humility. Forgiveness is strength. Forgiveness is faith. Forgiveness is hope. Forgiveness is charity. Forgiveness is moving on and moving up. Forgiveness is mercy. Forgiveness is grace. Forgiveness is love for others, yourself, and for God.
It's beautiful. Amen. Thank you for sharing that page. And I think it's wonderful that you're inspired by Charlie Kirk's life. And I hate to say by his death, but I think there's probably more people that have been inspired in his death than even were inspired in his life, even though he was absolutely making ripples for goodness around the world. But I think this moment, no matter what side of a political camp somebody is on, or where they find themselves in whatever problems or areas of life that they're dealing with, this moment right now, whether you're religious, not religious, political, not political, left, right, upside
Whatever
down,
your stance
backwards,
is.
whatever. This moment of the assassination of Charlie Kirk and this moment of forgiveness by Erica Kirk are absolutely tipping points towards healing in our world right now, for sure in our nation. There's certain moments that are huge catalysts for a whole next phase of the world. And just like the shot that was heard around the world that actually changed the trajectory of government and everything at that time. We have this other shot that has been heard around the world and has brought to light how wild society has become, how controlling,
How confused.
how confused, how angry, how close-minded.
And distracted.
Yeah, we should be able to listen to each other, you know, and talk to each other. And I think this is going to open the door to that. I hope it does. That's my hope. That's my prayer. My prayer is that the Almighty God will use this moment, that all of us will be smart enough to use this moment to become better versions of ourselves, to forgive all the people around us, to serve them, to love them, doesn't matter what political camp they're from, but to suddenly have brotherly love, sisterly love, and kindness in this world, and to change the course of history toward more humanity, more love and understanding, more civil discourse. To just change it all. Because I think it can happen. And we
And
can
I think it
have
will in many
more
areas.
self-government. Yeah, I think it will too. Paige, it's been so good to talk about this. And I know it's been a heavy topic this time, kind of heavy, kind of emotional. And you even just
But deep
really,
and beautiful.
yeah, you really opened up to us today, you know, which is, I think, something that almost anybody can identify with. And maybe there's people out there who just need to say they're sorry to somebody or need to say, I forgive you to somebody else. And I hope that you will, because those moments are huge moments. They seem like the small things, but they become the big things, the things that change it all. And I think that this tipping point is going to be something that the whole world will look back on and say, that day, I looked at myself differently. And I forgave myself for how I was, and I became a new me. And that is the whole message of self-government, that we can look at ourselves, recognize what's wrong, fix it, and move on. And I think the people who love God already before the day Charlie Kirk was killed, have done that. And the people who don't love God and don't love anything Charlie Kirk stands for, I think many of them also have still done that, because it's a moment where you just have to evaluate yourself. Anyway, God bless you all, and thank you, Paige.
Amen.
One thing that I just want to say at the end of this is that we do teaching self-government conferences periodically, and we have a teaching self-government conference that is coming up, all about the struggles that we're facing in the world right now and how to have the home hold through all of that. So I hope that you will go to teachingselfgovernment.com and you'll get an early bird ticket to that event right now.
Even if you can't make it in person, because it will be recorded and sent to you.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. Because things have been crumbling for a long time, but I think we have the opportunity right now to strengthen and fortify our families and our relationships, and I've got some skills to help you do that. Anyway, God bless you all. Go to teachingselfgovernment.com. We'll see you at that conference and next time on the Teaching Self-Government podcast. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Teaching Self-Government podcast. For more information and resources to help unite your family, visit teachingselfgovernment.com.